beautiful morning to get out in the garden. You know, I was listening to local news the other night at home in my favorite easy chair. And Romy, you were talking about how dry it's been, as well as how hot and mean this last summer was. We broke all kinds of heat records. No. We didn't want to break those. But I called it the meanest summer I can ever remember. And I've been here since 1966. But the weather forecast specialist on the TV said that we've had more 40-degree consecutive lows. We set a new record in the last 4 to 6 weeks.
And it has to do with the low dew point. The lower the dew point, the chillier it was. So I know somebody like Farmer Greg's probably excited about chill hours right now.
You bet. You bet a whole bunch of folks just like Farmer Greg are excited about the dew point. But it's just interesting that we've set that record this summer, and then we set this record this winter. More consecutive days with lows in the 40s in the valley than ever recorded.
I'm a bigger fan of the lows, lows.
I'm a bigger fan of the lows.
That was brutal. You know, we were talking about botanical gardens, and Romy started out in Philadelphia. I brought us to Phoenix, but there is one more that I really would like to talk about this morning, and that is the Queen Creek Botanical Garden. And they have just a wonderful mission. Their desire is to have elegant, edible landscape. And I took the girls, all the family girls, out to their Christmas at Pecan Lake. Just a wonderful setting. So we have Justin Rohner on with us this morning, and he's going to talk about what they've got going on out there right now. Hey, Justin, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good, good. So you're not actually out at the garden this morning. I'm going to rat you out, right?
I am not. I'm up in White River, Arizona, so doing a little skiing, but also looking at some pinyon pines that we're looking to bring down to the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens as another edible pine tree that is here in Arizona.
Yes.
Well, work hard, play hard. You're one of our kind of people.
You got it. Yeah. You got it.
Well, tell us what's going on right now. What could people expect? How can they get engaged with you? What can they come look at?
Well, right now at the gardens, we're actually open for guided tours. We're still under construction, but we're actually in the process of planting about 122 more fruit trees to the property in the various themed gardens. But it is open to the public on Saturday starting next week. I think this weekend's already filled up. But you can actually RSVP online at qcgardens.org, get in these guided tours that actually include some, you know, harvest tasting. So as we take you around the gardens, you'll be able to taste some of the stuff that's in season in these various themed gardens. We got an English themed garden. We've got the Japanese themed garden, a medicinal garden, and we call it the Mill Creek Medicinal Garden, some production gardens, more market farming kind of approaches, a beautiful 120 to 180 year old little grove of olive trees that is just a beautiful little setting there that you can come and enjoy. We call it our Gethsemane Garden. It's our golden rule Gethsemane Garden, which holds a lot more themes of some of the other submissions of what we do at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, just bringing all faiths under one space of the golden rule. We honor people from that golden rule space. So it's got a different spirit there at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens and probably any other garden you've ever experienced.
Sounds like we need that right now, too. A nice place just to kind of heal and rest.
That's a great thing. What did you say again? All faiths under one space?
That's right.
Oh,
and it's
great.
A garden where we celebrate those the golden rule as it shows up in all faiths. All major world religions have a golden rule in their script. And we showcase that, and we showcase some of those spiritual herbs, other things that are really significant to each of these faiths will start being grown in different themed gardens. And we started with that Gethsemane garden, the Christian faith. We've been interviewing faith-based leaders for a number of months. You can find those online, too, on our Facebook page. We've been posting a lot of those great interviews of how we can bring the world back together and in respect to one another, as well as through food, because that's the one place we all seem to agree, you know, that eating's a good idea.
Food and football, you know, seems to be.
Yeah, there you go.
Food, faith, and football.
Food, football, and faith. Right? Yeah, there you go.
Well, I wanted to say, you know, you talk about it being under construction, but having been there, that's not what you sense when you're there. The things that are finished are beautiful, the pecan grove, the olive trees, and then that, you know, you walk around, there's a path all around this beautiful lake, and at the end is this water mill. And why don't you talk a little bit about that? It's beautiful.
Yeah, that water mill, it's one of only three west of the Mississippi that even function. And it's a replica of an 1880s water wheel that we had brought over, and we've actually got inside the upper grist mill area. We've actually got an 1877 authentic refurbished grist mill with stone sets and everything that actually runs off of that water wheel. So that water wheel is fully functional. We got pecan crackers and sorters and shellers, all old age stuff that people kind of museum grade, but also can grind the wheat. We got them refurbished to the point that we can actually use that old stuff to crack and grind stuff for people's, you know, own food consumption. So it's a really, really fun experience up there inside that wheel. That wheelhouse, and it's neat.
It was really charming at the Christmas event. You had you could, as you walked around that, you could see Santa. They had like a holographic Santa in the windows, and he was working up there. It was really fun. But I have to know your secret, Justin. As you're looking out of that, as you're up on top with the water mill, and you're looking off, excuse me, to the north, there's this hill of beautiful plants. I just have to know how you plant on such a steep hill. It's crazy.
Plant on a steep hill. It is tricky. There's some really cool stuff actually out of Guatemala. They do all their farming in many parts of Guatemala on these steep hillsides. And so we've been studying them for a number of years. And with our fruit trees, a lot of it has to do with how you set up the watering system to make sure it's kind of upside on the hill, as well as subterranean. So we actually are really watering from the inside of the hill, you know, down. But the other big key piece is that hillside is really creating some microclimates, which helps us expand the range of food product that we can actually grow at the gardens. And so it's a really important piece of our puzzle there at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens to be able to showcase tropicals on one side of the hill, and then on the other side, even be able to grow cherry trees that will produce, thanks to not only the added chill hours you guys were talking about earlier, but it also just automatically will create a cooler environment for, you know, we're even growing Royal Rainier cherries, and we've been productive with them for the last 3 years. So it's possible to get cherries in the valley. You just got to be strategic on how you set them up.
Well, I think with the amount of research you've done and your enthusiasm, you're a great resource for anyone who's interested in edible gardening.
Well, it's definitely an education space out there at the Botanical Gardens. We also use agriscaping technologies. I mean, that's really what it's all founded on, is new technologies that take some old school stuff, but bring in new technology and microclimate mapping to help people be able to grow no matter if they got full sun or full shade. You know, it's important for people, especially nowadays with shrinking landscapes, you know, to be able to grow good food in the spaces they have available. Everything's not full sun anymore.
And Justin, I was curious, with all that you're doing with the Queen Creek Botanical Garden, are you still doing agriscaping?
Yeah, so that company's still running full bore. We continue to expand and certify more pros to be able to help us out. It is very difficult. There's been so much demand for that organization and what it does. It's been legitimately hard to keep up, even in this COVID era, because we just can't find enough pros that really understand both landscaping and food. And so we have to train them up, which with all this physical distancing, it's a little difficult to get some good training in.
But the concept, I think, is great. Just take what you have on your property and design it so you've got both landscaping and edibles combined.
That's right. You know, have your beautiful garden and eat it too.
And you can go to agriscaping.com. You guys do a number of both live and virtual events that people can jump on and start getting ideas and getting pictures and saving articles and start the concept of their own transition from a plain landscape to an agriscape.
Yep, we do. Free classes online every month. There's always a number of classes. We'll be starting to do some more live in-person classes that will be at the Queen Creek Botanical Gardens, as well as a couple other strategic sites around the valley. So we want to make sure people have access to that information, for sure.
And so to clarify, Justin, you have the Queen Creek Botanical Garden website. You also have an agriscaping.com website. And in Facebook, what's your tag in Facebook?
Tag in Facebook, you can just look up Agriscaping for Agriscaping Stuff, and then 2C underscore gardens on Facebook will find us on Facebook.
Well, good luck hunting those pinyon pines. And when you say you're looking for an edible pine, what part do you eat? The sap?
So on a pinyon pine, well, you can chew on the sap. If you were a kid like me, we'd chew on anything we found out here in the forest. But with the pinyon pine, it's actually the pine cone itself produces the pine nut. So just like those roasted pine nuts you can find in the store, they grow wild and natural up here in the White Mountains.
Picked a pound up just last week. $40 a pound.
Woo!
But they're worth
That's right.
it. But they're worth it. Man, I love pine nuts.
Well, happy hunting, Justin, and we'll look forward to seeing how those grow here in the desert. And thanks for spending a little time. It's been quite fun watching the development.
It really has been.
You know, I tried to, you know, this is the first new botanical garden to Arizona in over 40 years.
I wonder how many there are like this in the country, a botanical garden that features edibles. If you're going to water it.
Justin probably know. We should ask him before we let him go.
If you're going to water it, if you're going to fertilize it, if you're going to trim it, if you're going to care for it, if you're going to spend all that effort on it in your landscaping, why not be able to eat it?
Great question. We've got callers lining up, 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. We'll get to them, as well as our guest, Chris Wellborn of Vicente Landscaping, for anyone that has a mountain cabin with an irrigation system, what you need to know about properly winterizing your landscape.